Gracious God, thank you for this day. Thank you that we can come into this place and gather together out of the heat and build community. We all come from different places. We all have had different challenges this week. So we pray that this moment of worship is a unifying moment for all of us where we can gather with each other, and our love for each other, our love for the creator of this world, and leave here challenged to do better, be better as much as we can. In Christ's name, amen. Today I want to begin a new preaching series entitled Hope for Difficult Cases. Hope for Difficult Cases. And I invite us to examine the stories that we will be looking at with a new lens, not just the traditional ways in which they are often presented. In the Gospel of Mark, today's text is the account of the healing of the man, as I said earlier, with the unclean spirit. The healing of the man with the unclean spirit is actually one of the first miracles in Mark's gospel, setting the stage for Jesus's ministry of healing, his ministry of deliverance and proclamation of God's domain, God's realm, and God's authority. Jesus travels to Capernaum, a significant location in his ministry, and the story unfolds in a building where a Jewish assembly or congregation meets for religious worship and religious instructions, aka a synagogue. The setting is significant because it emphasizes the context of Jesus's teaching and the Sabbath day. The immediate location in the synagogue really emphasizes Jesus's presence in or within a religious setting, a place of worship and a place of learning. And he's not only there, but he's there on the Sabbath. Jesus enters the synagogue and Jesus begins to teach. And a man possessed by an unclean spirit disrupts the synagogue's service, revealing the presence of evil and disorder within the worship community. My mama used to say, the devil goes to church. And I maintain that an unclean spirit can show up anytime, any place, and in anybody, regardless of the shape, the size, the color, the race, the gender, the age, the form. Some of the forms that unclean spirits show up is hatred, unclean spirit of jealousy, an unclean spirit of gossiping and greed and racism, you name it, and an unclean spirit can show up where you are or where I am. The Gospel of Mark frequently employs the term unclean spirit really to highlight the concept of impurity and the necessity for cleansing and the necessity for restoration. In our text, Jesus encounters a man possessed by an unclean spirit. This is the most detailed description of a possessed person in the Bible. It is the classic profile. The man, according to Luke chapter 8, 27, it tells us that he possessed the unclean spirit for a long time, and it caused him to live like a subhuman. It caused him to live a wild life among the dead and the dying. Again, my mama, wealth of wisdom, she used to say, if you sleep with dogs, you'll end up with fleas. And the text says that this man dwelt among the tombs. He lived in the cemetery, in the graveyard. He was tormented. And the text states that he engaged in self-destructive, self-injurious act of harming his body on purpose. Pause here to say what I'm about to say can trigger some people who may have experienced self-inflicted wounds. So if that is you, I would invite you to tune out or turn the volume down at this point. This man engaged in cutting, and cutting. According to Psychology Today and many mental health therapists, this type of self-injury is a harmful way to cope with emotional pain, cutting. It's a way to cope with sadness. It's a way to cope with anger and stress. And it usually is followed by guilt. It's followed by shame. And then the return of the painful emotions after the cutting has happened. Maybe this cutting that this man engaged in was his cry for help. The uncontrollable unclean spirit caused him to behave erratically, and the people in Encino were frightened. I mean, the people in Capernaum were frightened. And I wondered as I studied the text whether, in the words of Lady Gaga, if he was born this way. Or if this condition is something that developed as he lived among the other people in the village. The Bible doesn't present this man's condition as a generic disorder resulting from from mutation or changes in the genes or the chromosome, or a condition that was passed down from parent to children, suggesting that it ran in the family. And he may have inherited it in some form or another from both parents. The Bible doesn't suggest that. So where did this unclean spirit come from? If it wasn't nature and it wasn't nurture, where did it come from? Whatever the source, over time, the man's behavior convinced the village people to bind him with chains and eventually drive him out of town, forcing him to live in the village cemetery among the tombs, hurting the only one he could hurt, which was himself. The village people, in essence, said, let's get rid of the problem, out of sight, out of mind. A more hopeless picture could not be painted in the scripture. The actions of the village people sound strikingly similar to me to those of a convicted felon who is now a law and order president who recently signed an executive order to end vagrancy and restore law and order to American cities by removing the unclean people, the people with unclean spirits, the homeless, the mentally ill individuals from the streets, treating them as criminals and redirecting federal resources. So Jesus is teaching in this temple. Jesus is teaching in this synagogue on the Sabbath. And immediately following his teaching, a man under the control, under the influence of an unclean spirit, confronts Jesus. And the unclean spirit recognizes Jesus and the divinity in Jesus. That's one of the key points of the text. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it states that God created you and me, humankind, in God's image. This verse emphasizes and highlights the inherent dignity and value of all humans. It also suggests that humanity is meant to reflect God's nature on earth. This phrase, imago Dei, suggests that all humans possess qualities that reflect God's nature, such as reason, such as morality, and the capacity for relationships. It highlights, imago Dei highlights the diversity within humanity and affirms that all humanity have inherent value and dignity, regardless of gender, regardless of race, or regardless of any characteristics. This word, imago Dei, the concept implies that humans possess a unique capacity for moral and rational thought
That humans have the ability to reason and to make choice and to understand the world around them and to reflect God's love and reflect God's grace and reflect God's mercy. Imago Dei, in the image of God. That humans were created with a sense of righteousness, reflecting God's love and reflecting God's holiness, imago Dei. Humans are created for relationships with each other, reflecting God's nature. The text states that when the unclean spirit recognized the God in Jesus, that the unclean spirit spoke up. So my question to you, if Genesis 1:27 is correct, and you and I are created in the image of God, when other people encounter us, or when we are in the presence of an unclean spirit, do they see God in us? Do they see God in me? Do they see God in you? When those possessed by an unclean spirit of injustice, of hatred, or any of those things that separate us from each other and separate us from God, are we readily identified as holy justice keepers? After recognizing who Jesus is, the unclean spirit cries out, "Have mercy! Have you come to destroy me?" Displaying fear and a knowledge of the power of good over evil. And so Jesus silenced the spirit, silenced this thing that was tormenting this man, silenced this thing that caused him to be kicked out of the village, silenced this thing that caused him to be living in the grave with death and dying people, and told the unclean spirit to get out, causing the man to convulse and cry. I love the verse where when Jesus was leaving the village, what did it say? Y'all, were you paying attention? It said the man wanted to go with Jesus. He said, "I'm so in love with you. Whatever you want to do, it's all right with me." He wanted to go with Jesus. He wanted to go with the only person who saw him for who he is. He wanted to go with the one who lifted him up and didn't push him down. He wanted to go with the one who set him free. The story emphasizes Jesus' authority, not just in teaching, but also in his actions, particularly in his ability to cast out unclean spirit. The people's reaction spread the news, and overnight, Jesus became an influencer with thousands of followers. The crowd is amazed and questions among themselves about Jesus' new teaching, and they question about Jesus' authority over unclean spirit. And the event really confirms Jesus' extraordinary power and his authority, not only in his teaching, but also over the forces of evil. And so news of Jesus spread rapidly throughout the region of Galilee, and the story then takes this unpredictable twist. The man in the story is restored. He's restored to wholeness. He's restored to a reasonable and sensible behavior and thinking. But not before Jesus cast the unclean spirit where? Into a herd of pigs. And the text says that the herd of pigs rushed headlong over the cliff into the lake. And according to the scripture, the pigs did what? drown. Did you know that pigs can swim? Did you know that pigs can swim? In fact, swimming is an instinctual behavior for pigs. In fact, pigs are known to be strong swimmers. And pigs can even swim long distance. Google it. I know some of y'all are going to. And some of y'all are doing it right now on Zoom. While most pigs don't need to swim for survival, some, like the famous swimming pig in Bahamas, I think that movie, have learned to swim to reach food. They learn to swim to interact with tourists. A herd of dead pigs in the lake would have been disastrous because it would have polluted the local water source. But what captivated me the most about this text is the reaction of the people in the village. After a report about what had happened, a crowd gathered around Jesus, and the man who was healed, the man who was transformed, the man who was delivered, the man who was changed, they gathered around. And when the people saw this man who had been hanging out in the cemetery, this man who had been cutting himself, this man who clearly suffered from some sort of mental illness, this man who was homeless, this man who walked around unclothed, this man who howled all night long like an animal, they had kicked him out of this village. When the community saw this man clothed in his right mind, they were terrified. They should have been mad because their pigs died. But they were mad because a madman was delivered. They were mad because the unclean spirit disappeared. And that's one of the scandals in this passage. The other scandal is that Jesus refused to play by society's rule. The village people clearly preferred the man to be bound. The village people clearly preferred this man to be marginalized. They preferred him to be sequestered in a tomb and kept out of sight and out of mind. A howl every now and then would be okay, but don't come into our neighborhood. The drowning of their pigs concerned them less that this man who was drowning in despair, this man who was drowning in hopelessness. But it's demonstrated by the hope Jesus brought to this man. God's domain, God's realm, God's territory runs counter to human intuition, counter to human institutions. And it runs counter even to some human churches in which power and wealth and fame and influence are given pride of place. In God's domain, God's realm, God's territory takes root in the marginalized. Can I say that one more time? God's domain, God's realm, God's dominion, God's territory takes root in the marginalized, the outcast, those who seem most insignificant. In the words of Howard Thurman, the gospel may be read as a manual of resistance for the poor and disenfranchised. And Jesus is a partner in the pain of the oppressed. And only through self-love and love for one another can God's justice prevail. I'm so in love with you. Whatever you want to do is all right with me. Jesus gave the man with the unclean spirit some hope. I can't guarantee this, but I bet that this week you're going to encounter somebody that needs a little hope. What are you going to give them? Amen.